All right, hey folks, Drew Berkowitz, this is my show. Today, one more day after today, which is tomorrow, Wednesday, before we go on a break, we'll talk a little bit more about that. We've been talking about it. Again, we've been warning you, letting you know. I know there's people who are disappointed. There's probably some people who are like, hell yes, it's about time he stops talking. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. And we'll get to some other stories, but I want to start here. Let's start here because former Attorney General Bill Barr spoke out, and I'm going somewhere else with this, but I'm just going to add this as an alibi. Hey, Robin, good to see you. Hey, Scott, everyone else coming into the chat room. Hit that like button on the way in. But former Attorney General Bill Barr spoke out earlier this week, said that Trump's claims of election fraud and all of his concerns about it were utter bullshit. Trump, of course, weighed in himself, slammed Barr for his ineffectiveness, particularly towards the end. And you can imagine where it went from there. But then, and this is where I wanted to get, then Obama weighed in, former President Obama, as he has multiple times lately on voting rights. And he again made the absurd claim, as the Democrats have been doing here. Notice how they've switched this. And they're good at this, guys. They're good at using the tools they have at their disposal. They're good at lying and projecting their own stuff onto the populace through their media channels and what have you. But he again made the claim that GOP efforts to make voting fair, which is what so many of these laws are doing at the state level, is somehow an attack on democracy. He said this, take a listen. I apologize. You have to look at Nancy Pelosi and Eric Holder in the clip, but here's what he said.
If we don't stop these kinds of efforts now, what we are going to see is more and more contested elections, contested not in the sense of healthy competition, but contested in terms of who wins, who loses. We are going to see a further delegitimizing of our democracy. And not only are we going to see more unfairness in terms of results and who is represented and who isn't, but we are going to see a breakdown of the basic agreement that has held this magnificent democratic experiment together all these years. And the only thing that's preventing that from happening is our sense of urgency and our willingness to do everything we can to prevent it. And that is going to require resources. That's going to require people paying attention. It's going to require public education. It's going to require us speaking out. I have every confidence that Nancy, working in conjunction with Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden and the others, and including people like Joe Manchin, are going to figure out a way in which there is an up and down vote on the For the People Act. But that's only going to happen if we create an environment in which everybody knows what the stakes are. And that's why support for NDRC is so absolutely vital.
I love that he says at one point in there, people need to pay attention. Golly, if that would be amazing if we could get people to pay attention to what's actually going on, to what you, Obama, are actually saying, to what Pelosi, Schumer, Biden, Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, all of these people are saying. And basically, translation of what Obama is saying there is democracy, as he calls it, as he defines it, is on the line unless they, the Democrats, get their way and can actually change how voting and democracy works. That's what he's saying. And look, I get that this guy is the media's darling. And because of that, there are a lot of people who are going to say and think, because he opened his mouth, this guy can speak. Listen to him. And therefore, because it sounds good, he knows what he's talking about. We literally have people that are that dumb. But no, don't do it. As he says, albeit in a different way, pay attention. He does not know what he's talking about. He's lying through his teeth. I mean, he knows what he's thinking. He knows what his intentions are. He knows what the Democrats' intentions are. But it's not to preserve or save democracy. You've got to always pay attention. to someone's heart, you know, their starting point, their, where they're coming from, their stance on issues, before you take their word when they talk about fairness and policy. Obama, very clearly and vocally, has always said he wants big government. He wants a socialist experiment. He talks about the American experiment there. And I hate it when these guys do it because, again, people fall for it. Oh, he's talking about us and our communities and our country. He must love this community, this country. No. He wants a socialist experiment. He wants the American experiment to go a totally different direction. The way of Marxism. Not the way we've always had things. And the voting bills he's discussing, as we've touched on, I don't know, 10,000 times at this point, would fundamentally change elections and how we've done things. So you're not preserving things. You're uprooting, destroying, and fundamentally changing things. That's what he's saying. He's just doing it in eloquent words that pull people in. They pull those heartstrings and pull them in. And were these things to go through, any of them, it would tilt the scales towards the Democrats in a manner that would be irreparable for us. We wouldn't win elections, at least not the important ones, anymore. They'd be able to expand the government, expand the role of the government, the size of the government, all of that, and the influence that it would have in people's lives would be devastating. It would be so overreaching. It already is. But imagine how much worse it would be. So don't buy what he's saying. Please don't. And look, I'll give him credit where credit's due. The guy is an eloquent speaker. He says things in a tone and a manner of which you can see how and why people listen and believe it. And I've told you before, I've been in a room with him overseas on a trip. And when he walks in, there's charisma, there's excitement. And I understand it. I understand how people got there. It's disappointing that they stayed there. Because what you say and what you do are different things. They shouldn't be, but for politicians, they always are. And certainly that's true for him. Certainly that's true for him. So please pay attention to the intent behind what he is saying. And don't fall for the, he sounds like a cool guy and he gets us and he gets that. No, he maybe does get you more than, say, Joe Biden, this, that, and the other. But understand that he doesn't just get you and want to help you. He gets you and wants to change everything about you. Change everything about this country and how it affects you. All right, going to move on to Psaki here in a second. But before we do, let's hear from Mammoth Nation. Mammoth Nation is America's conservative discount club. They are on a mission to keep this country great. Stick to the Constitution, your Second Amendment. They support our law enforcement, our military. It's better than a donation to a PAC or a candidate. They take the guesswork out for you. And in return, you get discounts on all sorts of amazing products and services, stuff that you're already paying for now, whether it's wireless, internet, insurance, medications, all sorts of other products that you need and want. So check it out. It's mammothnation.com. If you become a lifetime member like me, they'll send you American flag, some other goodies just for signing up. Again, it's mammothnation.com. Join the fight. All right. Some good comments coming in, guys. Please do hit that like button if you have not already on whichever platform you're on. It's the plus sign over on Rumble. It's the thumbs up over on Facebook, YouTube, you name it. So you know the drill. Please do it. But let's touch on the press secretary for a second. Because we haven't actually in a while. We've you know, with some of Biden's trips and all of that that's happened, we haven't seen as much Psaki lately. But she gave us some meat to chew on from yesterday, which is no surprise. And it's not that she hasn't given comments or made statements in the days prior that we haven't covered or that were worth covering. There's just been some other stuff that we needed to cover that was more important. But we spoke yesterday. We spoke yesterday about Olympic hammer thrower, Gwen Berry, an anti-American radical. And she turned her back during the trials while on the podium when the national anthem was played. Put a shirt over her face. We went through the whole thing. You've heard about it. We talked about it. But she said that the national anthem was disrespectful and that that she was set up, which I don't understand even what that means. No one cares about you that much. Clearly, a lot of this is just, in fact, a publicity stunt because no one does care that much about you. I mean, how many people had heard of Gwen Berry before this weekend, before yesterday, if that was the first time? Well, Peter Ducey asked Jen Psaki if Joe Biden in the administration had a comment on it. Here was her response.
As an Olympian on the hammer throwing events, won a bronze medal at the trials, and then she turned her back on the flag while the anthem played. Does President Biden think that is appropriate behavior for someone who hopes to represent Team USA?
Well, Peter, I haven't spoken to the president specifically about this, but I know he's incredibly proud to be an American and has great respect for the anthem and all that it represents, especially for our men and women serving in uniform all around the world. He would also say, of course, that part of that pride in our country means recognizing there are moments where we are, as a country, haven't lived up to our highest ideals. And it means respecting the right of people granted to them in the Constitution to peacefully protest.
All right. So look, she's right. You do have the right to protest. That is a factual statement. But I'm so sick and tired of the statement that they continue to use, which is their excuse that they lean on every time when they pander to people that they don't want to upset or offend. And they say that America hasn't lived up to its potential, hasn't lived up to its ideals. Come on. I mean, again, for Gwen, if you hate this country so much, why go represent it? When you know how patriotic of a thing representing your country in the Olympics is. Literally, any international games, you go and take part in this world championship or this big tournament or this big event. But this is all that on steroids, the Olympics. I don't understand why she would even want to do it. I'm not saying she should quit her sport. But go and win in a bunch of regional and national games, where, by the way, the national anthem's going to be played too. But if you hate the country, don't put on the colors and go represent it. It just doesn't even seem like it would be a fun experience. But back to Psaki and Biden. I understand the pandering response. They need the votes of people who hate America, because those types are far more likely to be on their side, certainly not going to vote for people who love America, love this great country, respect this country, respect this Constitution. So this is the game that the Democrats are playing now and have played forever. This is not a new game. But why not? I just don't get, from a human standpoint, and I get politicians aren't really humans, but why not at least say she's allowed to protest? That is her right to protest, but we're disappointed, and we hope that she'll choose to respect our country, represent our country well, do the right thing, because we're sending her there to represent us, to compete on our behalf. I just don't get why you don't throw that in there. If you're pandering, right, why don't you pander to as many people as possible? Not just this group here who you want the votes of. I got it. Why wouldn't you pander to everyone? Say something that makes it more ambiguous about what your position is on the issue. But they don't. They dive in. They dive all in on the other side. Now, obviously, my response would be, you're done. Get off the team. There are plenty of people who would love to have your spot, are talented, working their asses off. I don't get their response. Say something that doesn't spit in the face of all of us, of all Americans. And the vast, vast majority are proud of this country. Know that there is work to do, but they're proud of it. But then she wasn't done. We're not done with Psaki. We'll throw one other thing in here, because this is remarkable too and shows that, again, they don't get America. But she went on to give in the same press conference what she thought was great news for people in rural communities, underprivileged communities in America. She boasted about this. Look at what she's giving them.
People across the country and people who care deeply about addressing our climate crisis know the components of what's in this package, which the president considers a down payment, not the end, a down payment. So 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations nationwide, that's what this would help support, with a focus on our highways and rural and disadvantaged communities. It would help buy more than 35,000 electric school buses.
They did it, folks. Championship. They got these rural folk, disadvantaged communities, exactly what they've been clamoring for forever. They've always wanted this. Electric charging stations. They're coming. Get the hell out, Jen Psaki. Biden coming. I've never seen an administration focus on all the wrong things so much. Not just a little bit, but like put all their eggs in these baskets. And they still think that they're connecting with people. Connecting with people that they never understood in the first place, which is what makes it kind of comical as you're sitting on the outside looking in. Like, they're proud of themselves. They think this is what rural communities want. They think this is what disadvantaged communities want. No, maybe somewhere on their list they do. But trust me, it is way, way down on the priority list. So far down on the priority list. But the fact that they think somehow that they can be in the position to say this, spend taxpayer dollars, spend your dollars, my taxpayer dollars on this, and then say, you're welcome. You're welcome. It's pretty crazy. It's the world we're living in. All right, we got some other stories we're going to hit on. But first, let's touch base and hear from UFM. Man, we have a lot of serious problems in the world. Some are outside of our control and some are within. One that you most certainly can control is what's happening south of your border. I am talking about your junk, and UFM Underwear for Men has the solution. Most men's underwear these days do not provide actual support, but rest easy, UFM's do. Their patented pouch system eliminates all skin-on-skin contact in your nether regions and move with your body so you can go from one activity to the next without a second thought. They're great for sports, work, everyday use. There's even certain medical applications as well, all because of their unique drawstring adjustable support pouch that allows you to increase the support to your preference and provides actual support. So support your manhood, treat yourself right, you deserve it. Go to ufmunderwear.com, use promo code Drew to save $6. Ladies, you can do the same thing. Head on over there, ufmunderwear.com, use promo code Drew to save $6. All right, and as Brian says, you need coal plants to run those charging stations. John Murphy says, damn electric school buses. Some of these people can't even buy food. It's so far down the list, to your point. So far down the list. I'm not saying that there's not some value and there aren't some people who would prefer those types of things, but everyone can agree that it's not the most important thing. It's just not. And again, for those who think it's critical that we switch to this and we have this and we abandon the other stuff. You're not understanding how this works. You're not understanding that you still need the other stuff that you hate to make these other ones work. So it's pretty laughable, but it's not even worth going into because that's just how off the other side is. All right. Before we start this next little piece here, let me say two things. As I always say about the brave men and women working on the ground level, boots on the ground types, operational types specifically, at whether it's any of the three-letter agencies, whether it's CIA, FBI, etc., DIA, NSA. We're going to talk NSA here in a second. But most of the people, the vast, vast majority who are working there and a part of those organizations are selfless, brave, patriotic individuals. But the leadership is poisoned. It's extremely politicized, and therefore these key pillars in our national security apparatus need to be torn down, started over. Something significant needs to happen. Or start altogether new ones, let the others fade away. Whatever the case might be, change needs to come. So remember that. Remember, there are good people there. When we attack and criticize them, when I do, and I've worked at several of them and with the others, I know the caliber of people who are there working. And it's there's some amazing people. I also know the caliber and pedigree of the people who are careerists and fall into those politicized corners and are doing what they're doing to our country now, and it's awful. And do I think some of these significant changes and overhauls that need to happen and occur at these organizations are going to actually happen? No. But I bring all this up because of this troubling story from Tucker, who you've maybe heard about by now. We've got some articles on our site. You've maybe heard it on social media. But this is a troubling story involving Tucker and NSA. And of course, there's lots of people. Keep in mind, in the backdrop, there are lots of people on the left, within media, within the Democrat Party, who want nothing more than for perhaps our most prominent voice in conservative media, Tucker Carlson, be off the air. Take a listen now to what's happening.
Actual federal policy. The war on terror, now ongoing for 20 years, has pivoted in its aims. The war on terror is now being waged against American citizens, opponents of the regime. We saw this on display on January 6. We told you a couple of weeks ago, based on language in publicly available indictments, that the FBI clearly had foreknowledge of the riot at the Capitol that day. And the agents we spoke to this weekend confirmed that is true. Quote, the FBI had sources in that crowd, confidential sources, snitches. That's 100% certain. But it's not just political protesters the government is spying on. Yesterday, we heard from a whistleblower within the U.S. government who reached out to warn us that the NSA, the National Security Agency, is monitoring our electronic communications and is planning to leak them in an attempt to take this show off the air. Now, that's a shocking claim, and ordinarily we'd be skeptical of it. It's illegal for the NSA to spy on American citizens. It's a crime. It's not a third world country. Things like that should not happen in America. But unfortunately, they do happen, and in this case, they did happen. The whistleblower, who is in a position to know, repeated back to us information about a story that we are working on that could have only come directly from my texts and emails. There's no other possible source for that information, period. The NSA captured that information without our knowledge and did it for political reasons. The Biden administration is spying on us. We have confirmed that. This morning, we filed a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, asking for all information that the NSA and other agencies have gathered about this show. We did it mostly as a formality. We've also contacted the press office at both NSA and the FBI. We don't expect to hear much back. That's the way that usually goes. Only Congress can force transparency on the intelligence agencies, and they should do that immediately. Spying on opposition journalists is incompatible with democracy. If they are doing it to us, and again, they are definitely doing it to us, they are almost certainly doing it to others. This is scary, and we need to stop it right away. Farmland is...
All right, so you get the point there. And it's terrifying stuff. It's terrifying stuff. And we've seen the tools that were brought about for legitimate reasons. FISA, electronic surveillance, all sorts of stuff. Been a part of some of that stuff. A lot of that stuff, in fact. Used in very legitimate purposes. But the problem is that stuff has now, because of these organizations being politicized, being used against our own people. Something that, one, the intel community is not supposed to do. But two, obviously a problem for freedom. And there are countless examples already that have been discussed and revealed over the years. And then now you add this. And this is how things always happen. You look back at history. You pay attention to what's occurred before. It's really not unpredictable what we're going through right now as a country. History and common sense tend to let you know that this kind of stuff cannot be prevented. It's just going to happen. But it has to be pushed back against. It can't be tolerated. It just can't be. And as Leah said in a comment here a second ago, they've been doing this. We know that, and as I alluded to, there's documentation of this. They've just gotten more bold about it. They just don't care anymore because they know they can get away, whether it's big tech, whether it's the government, which shockingly, big tech is more powerful than the government now. But all of these things, they keep going harder and harder to the hoop because they know they can. But what's interesting and worth noting is that these organizations, as these things come out more and more and more, you look at what the FBI has done to themselves. You look at what several other organizations have done to themselves. The NSA has done to themselves. And they've lost all credibility to the people. They have. Some reasons, very justifiably so. Others, maybe not. There's some stories that I still hear people talk about blaming this organization or that organization. It's like, no, stop. Like, you don't understand how it actually works behind the scenes. That's not even possible, what you're saying. But there are some very, very legitimate concerns over very, very real things that have happened. And as we know, as humans, once trust is lost, man, that's hard to gain back. It's hard to gain back. Again, Berenstain Bears taught us that. Come on. Everyone just read the damn Berenstain Bears. We'd be fine. We'd be okay. But people aren't doing that. They're reading Marxist handbooks. It's crazy. It's crazy. Something to continue to pay attention to and something to be aware of. Because as Tucker said there, and to Leah's point, as they get more bold and more brazen, they will go after more and more people. You look at how they've used January 6th because of the rhetoric they've built up around it, most of which is false and bogus, and how they've used that to implement tools against people. You hear people coming back in the country from vacation who were in D.C. that day, who maybe didn't even go in the building, who are stopped and screened and arrested, questioned, because facial recognition picked them up. And again, you have to understand this too. We need all of those tools. Our brave men and women that I discussed at the top of this segment, our brave men and women need those tools to go after and defeat the enemy. There has to be something done so we do not turn around and use those same tools on our own people. It's not an easy fix, but something has to be done. But they're doing all of that, as I said, because they want Tucker off the air. I'm laughing at a comment I'm seeing from There Is No Spoon. That's a good one. I'm going to get to your other one later. But they want him off the air. And speaking of journalists going off the air, and Tucker won't be going anywhere, by the way. But there are some that should. Not because I disagree with their politics, but because of their performance. There's plenty. Look, you pick anyone at CNN, MSNBC, any of the NBC, CBS, ABC type networks. There's very few that I agree with on almost anything there. But I don't think all of them should just necessarily lose their job. I think those networks should go away because they're all a sham. But in a normal context, I don't think they should lose their job for doing what their network wants them to do. But when their performance is awful, as we've seen with people, then that's a different story. And we've chatted a lot about my good buddy Brian Stelter being just a failure of a person, because he is. He's awful. Not even a man. We've talked about that, how his show is failing. The ratings have been atrocious this entire year, particularly since January. And how the best week of his year was, in fact, the week that he was away on vacation and someone filled in. But as much as I love to pick on Stelter, it's easy. Easy target. We're not talking about him today. Today we're talking about his colleague, Jake Tapper, who we do bring up on the show a decent amount. But his show, what's it called? The Lead with Jake Tapper has also been absolutely crushed, devastated in the ratings game this year. Since January, he's lost 75% of his audience. All of that since former President Trump left office. Think about this too. He had nearly 3 million, 2.8 million viewers back in January. This past month, it's been an average of 706,000 viewers. He's gotten his ass handed to him. That is a huge drop, people. It also, according to a report from Fox News, had a 49% drop in viewership in the second quarter compared to the first quarter. And now, in fairness, all of these networks have taken a hit since January, the inauguration, the transition, the events of January 6th. Everyone has, because there was a lot going on then, obviously, with the election. And then you had the riots in D.C. and just a lot of stuff after that. But no one has taken a hit. No one, like CNN. As a network, according to Nielsen, who, of course, handles the ratings. As a network, CNN has lost 67% of its viewers since January. MSNBC, also a huge hit. Not as big as MSNBC, or as CNN, excuse me, but nearly 50%. They had a 49% hit between January and May. Whiskey Rebel, I wouldn't watch CNN if it were the only channel on TV. I'd rather watch VHS tapes of 20-year-old NASCAR races. The question is do you have a VCR still? A lot of people don't. I guess if you're bringing it up, you probably do. But so CNN down 67% since January. MSNBC down 49% since January. Fox News also took a hit, but only 12%. A much smaller number. And it happens, guys, because look, the media, first of all, these guys, Tapper, Stelter, several of the colleagues. By the way, did we see Chris Cuomo respond to someone's tweet on Twitter by just flexing his muscle? What a douche. But this media, led in big part by these two networks who took a huge loss, CNN and MSNBC, have played a very dangerous game for 4 years, attacking a president like none has ever been attacked before. Disrespecting a president, a sitting president, like has never done before. Like him, don't like him, that's fine. There's always been a certain level of respect for the office and the position. That went away. That went away. But they did that. Now they've accomplished their goal, or helped accomplish the goal. They helped get him out of office. But it's come with a significant consequence for them. A big one. I mean, think about it. Any loss in viewers, even a marginal loss in viewers, means a big loss in ad dollars. You make it a significant loss, 67%. In the case of Jake Tapper's show, 75%. And that is a catastrophic loss of dollars. You take them off the air in airports, they lose a ton. And it shows, by the way, how that gave them so much of their ratings and viewership. It wasn't actually engaged viewers. But all of this, too, means a loss of influence. It's not just ad dollars. It's a loss of influence. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It is embarrassing to watch, Junis. You're right. Very much so. All right, real quick. As a reminder, I've talked about it. I'm going to keep talking about it just so you know. The best ways to support the show is to head on over. You can do it on YouTube. You can do it on PayPal. You can do it on any of the other platforms that we've discussed. But the best way is to head on over to drewberquist.com. Click the support page. You can find it right there on the homepage. It's flashing. It's easy to see. Go there, or you can just go to drewberquist.com/support. And if you hit certain thresholds, you can be a producer or an executive producer on the episode. Put it on your IMDb page. Put it on your LinkedIn page. Put it wherever the hell you want. But know that it goes a long way in helping us out. You can also do it anonymously. You can do it however you want. There's lots of options there. But it's the best way. And the reason I say it's the best way is because there aren't people taking money from you. There's no one in between taking a cut of anything. It goes right to the show, right to the team, right to supporting everything that we're doing here, right to supporting this community that we all take part in each and every day. So please head on over there, drewberquist.com. Click support and help keep things going here. Then, man, we've got to end here. This is remarkable to me. And it's really not, because it's California, right? And we've come to expect such ludicrous things out of that state, because they're obviously a hot mess. They have been, they will be. That's just the way things go. But we saw new levels of stupidity during the pandemic. This past year, year and a half, the draconian laws that were put in place by Newsom, all the way down to the local level, everything that they did out there was tyrannical and ridiculous. And certainly they're not alone. There's most of the liberal states out there. Some of them still have had these crazy rules preventing their people from living their lives. But now California is stepping up their efforts big time. They want to win this competition to see who can be the most restrictive, who can be the most absurd And things like this give them, I would argue, a pretty good edge, because they're now adding five states, including Florida, right here in Florida, which, yes, means they already have a list if they're adding five, of places that state-funded travel is banned. Banned. If you are on official state travel, official state business, you cannot go from California to Florida. Why? It's not related to COVID. It's because of laws in states that they feel discriminate against members of the LGBTQ community. Not making it up. The announcement was made yesterday by their attorney general. Florida, Arkansas, Montana, North Dakota, and West Virginia were added to the list that now has 17 states where state employee travel is forbidden. No soup for you. No, you're not going there. The quote was, "Make no mistake, we're in the midst of an unprecedented wave of bigotry and discrimination in this country, and the state of California is not going to support it," said the AG. And that's the world that we live in now, folks. We went through these draconian lockdown rules, tyrannical restrictions. You can't celebrate. People being told to snitch and call on neighbors and friends who break pandemic protocols. And now there's this. And it's important to understand, too, that this is state travel. This is official travel, not private citizens yet. But this is insane. We're not even sending people to your state. You're that off. We hate you that much. We think we should hate you that much because we think this is how you actually are. When in fact, Florida and none of the states that I've mentioned to my awareness, I know several of them very well, are remotely anything like California's describing them. And as Junis is saying, it's not bigoted down in Fort Lauderdale. It's not. We all have our views of the world. They're all different. I get that. Sadly, not everyone's going to agree. But a lot of this comes on the heels of the stuff that's happening at the education level and the sports arena in terms of banning transgender athletes from competing with females, and the libs can't stand it. They don't know what to do with themselves. They've just lost their mind. They hate that a man can't ruin the female athletic experience, all because he's confused. And I get, for the trolls that are listening or someone who's going to watch this or listen to this later, I've said this before, and I understand that gender dysphoria is a real thing. And I honestly do feel bad for the people who are dealing with it. Seems like a complicated nightmare. But I also understand science, which is really clear, something everyone should be able to agree upon. Everyone should be able to say, okay, I don't understand this, or I don't get this, or why would you do that, or why would you identify as a dresser or a taco? I don't get it, but whatever. But we should all be able to agree on the fact that there are two genders, period. But you see California come out here and make this policy. And it just shows the divide that we have in this country. When you've got someone saying you literally cannot travel to what is now 17 states, because we have different views than they do. Free states. You can't travel to free states. That demonstrates a real problem. A real problem. Then further on this issue real quick, we'll wrap on this and we'll get to a couple comments. You probably saw and heard, no doubt, that the Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib came out last week. He's a pass rusher, good player. And he came out as gay last week and the woke world lost their minds. Man, they were excited. Couldn't contain the excitement. Every network, every person on social media just going crazy. This is amazing. And it was funny to me, not because Carl is gay. I could care less what Carl's sexual preference is. It was funny because, for one, there have been others that have come out before. I particularly remember a dude who was drafted in the past, and there was a huge package, huge story on it. I don't know about his package, but there was a huge production package on it. So people have come out before. But moreover, I thought it was funny because they partied like crazy. They have this huge celebration. That's 1999. They're playing Prince songs. They're doing all sorts of stuff. And then they find out that he's conservative. And they were so pissed. So pissed. So frustrated. This is he's what? He supports who? So it's funny to see that. It's funny to see how quick people turn and change. Abandon individuals. Oh, you're one of us. No, actually, never mind. You're not. You have to, because on our side, you have to agree on literally everything or you can't be on our team. That's how the other side plays. But with all that, even so, the NFL said, we don't care. We're running with it. And they said, we're gay. Football's gay. Seriously, they said it. This was it. This was their new commercial. All right. For those of you listening to the podcast, it just went through football is gay, football is lesbian, football is this, football is transgender, football is this, blah, 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 just a bunch of stuff. That just, I don't get it. And I know a lot of you have abandoned professional sports, have abandoned the NFL. Certainly everyone should have abandoned the NBA by now. Just a woke disaster. But I just don't get why they would make this move. It makes no sense to me. Kind of like how earlier Joe Biden and Jen Psaki wouldn't say something about Gwen Berry turning her flag on turning her back on the flag during the anthem. Being upset, disrespected, feeling like she was set up, and not saying, hey, we respect your right to do that, but we wish that you would represent us in a kinder, more supportive way. That's all you had to do. She's going to do what she's going to do. But why can't they just say, we support Carl, we support people who choose to do that, they're welcome, and just stop there? No, they've got to make a commercial. Pander to everyone. Which, by the way, is not their audience. You're pandering to people who a very small portion of who fit in that category are diehard fans. Are there some? Yes. Am I generalizing? Sure. But that's like, you could come up with a million examples there. But I just don't get it. It's such a dumb move. And then you get companies who are weighing in on the Georgia election stuff, as we've talked about, and we're not going to go into that. But why? Just stay in your lane. You can be supportive. You can be kind. You can do all those things in accepting of others without coming out with a massive pandering policy. I'll never get it. I'll never get it. All right, let's get to some questions here. And we got to roll out for the day. Randy said earlier, Obama wants the right, talking about the election reform that he was discussing in the video at the very beginning of the show, if you weren't here. But Obama wants the right to continue to steal elections. And that's literally, it's a combination of that. It's, yes, it is that. And it is also the fact that these laws, they wouldn't have to steal them as much. If they can make some of the changes that they want procedurally with H.R. 1 and H.R. 4, they don't have to work as hard to steal them. It just literally is taking the table and tilting it all to, it would actually be to this side. To the left. But what the net result is the same. They want control. They want authority. They want power, and they don't want it to ever leave. So they've got to use more mail-in. They've got to use more, you don't need your voter ID. They've got to use all those tools and then marginalize the communities who tend to vote conservative. Linda, please update me on the discussion about Obama. Basically, he did a video with Pelosi and Holder earlier in the episode saying how democracy on the line, the GOP is trying to suppress the vote with their fair election voter identification laws. Obviously, a total bullshit response. But you can go back and watch the beginning of the show and get the sense there. But he was spewing lies, and we talked about how people will buy into it because he is a smooth speaker and people listen to what he says even though they're not paying attention to what he's trying to do, which is a problem. There is no spoon. Said earlier, will Biden do another press conference in the next 4 years, or is Psaki going to cover for him while he's napping? Well, I don't think it'll be Psaki that much longer because, you know, again, there's reports that she's not going to be there. She's going to be resigning, but it'll be someone. And I don't think that they will do many more because we've seen how they go. We've heard reports from inside the White House. We've heard even a CNN reporter say, I've never seen aides and staff protect him from the press. The press that, by the way, is totally in his camp, totally in his corner. But he's never seen someone as protected as Biden is because they know that he's not up to task, that he can't, you know, shoot from the hip and answer those questions that these people are asking. And they've literally shouted at him when he tries to respond to them, not just the reporter. So I don't know that we will. I'm sure there'll be some because there'll be pressure. And what happened with the first time he did one is there had been pressure. It's been 90 days. It's been this many days since he's been in office and he hasn't done one. And they finally did it. And of course it was all pre-done. But I think it'll get to that point again. You'll get another one, but it's going to continue to be like that. There's going to be a huge gap in time between each one, and someone will generally be covering for him. Hey, Trey, at Drew Berkowitz, can you talk about the Make-A-Wish being woke? Yeah, we ran an article on that the other day. I don't remember every specific detail, but I remember what matters. And what matters is they will not be, their CEO came out, Richard David, I forget his name, but their CEO came out and said that they will not be giving donations or support, the oh-so-critical support that they do give. I mean, obviously the intent behind that organization and what they've done for years has been good. It's helped a lot of young children and their families. But they will not do it unless the children are vaccinated. So, oh, you're battling cancer, you're battling this, you're battling that. We'd love to help you. But have you been vaccinated? No? Okay, then we can't help you. Not going to do it. We want to try and force the issue. And again, all you're doing is trying to make a political statement, a statement that's not needed or necessary. If you are behind it, you're behind the vaccine. I don't know why you would be at this point with the data that's out there, but if you're behind it, then put out a statement that says we endorse and support this and encourage people to do it. But don't make the dumbass move of saying, hey, we're not going to support your kid who's in desperate need of healthcare unless they get a vaccine. We're not going to take care of people who don't do it. Exactly, Daniel. Makes no sense. It's a ridiculous policy. Thanks for bringing it up, Trey. It's a good point. I'm glad you brought up that story. Daniel said, can't wait to see how much talking about Psaki and the Biden administration saying they're going to bring 500 electric charging stations to rural and disadvantaged communities. Played that clip earlier in the show. Said, can't wait until they see how much energy it takes to build all those batteries and replace them regularly, not to mention the cost. Yeah. These guys are so great. AOC is the perfect person for it, and the reason that everyone in the world picks on her is because she always throws out these wouldn't it be awesome if type statements. And we're going to do this and make things awesome, but without any forethought, without any understanding of what it takes to do that. I mean, think about the things she and Bernie and all these people talk about. We're going to give everything for free. Don't go back to work. Let the government pay for you. And by the way, we're also going to give you free college, and we're going to give you free this, and we're going to raise minimum wage. But there's no way to pay for all of that without taking it from somewhere else. There's no logic behind that. And then when it comes to all this green stuff, okay, cool. Some of those concepts they talk about aren't the worst things in the world, not for the sake of climate change, but just in general, changing technology. But as you're pointing out, and as we've pointed out before, to get those things working, to do those things, to keep those things going, to manufacture those things, to reproduce those things, all of that takes all of the things that they hate and swear has to go away. So again, there's no, what's going to come as a byproduct of trying to go this direction? They just throw out the, wouldn't it be great if everyone was millionaires? Wouldn't it be great if every day was cake day? Okay, cool. Yeah, that sounds great. I could get behind every day's cake day. How are we going to do it? What's the policy? And obviously that's a facetious example, but you throw out these things when it comes to electric vehicles. We're going to get rid of meat. We're going to get rid of this, and we're going to refurbish every building in America. And we're no, you can't do it. Maybe we should have, if it really matters, and I don't think it does, but if it really matters, then we should have started a long time ago. But we're so far in now, you can't do any of the stuff you're actually talking about. Laura says, Laura Whittemore, Shepherd, going through this right now, nursing facility with my mom. She's 87 and fell, has two broken legs. They are demanding her proof of vaccine for Wu Flu. Isn't that illegal? First of all, I'm so sorry that she's going through that, that you guys are going through. That's awful. And I think it, I mean, look, I'm not a legal disclaimer. This is not a medical show or a show that I can provide legal advice in. But I do think it gets into HIPAA. There's some nurses and people here that show up that might have better wisdom on it that you guys can talk about in the chat. But it's wrong. I noticed that. It's wrong. You take care of people. You do the right thing. Vaccines be damned. Who cares? But it seems like it is a violation. Yeah. Absolutely 55. Dorna says it's legal. Again, I can't confirm or deny that. Not that you're asking me for specific advice, but it seems like there's some serious holes in their logic and their approach there. Logic being a very loose term. All right, folks. Time to take off for today. Reminder, we've got one more show tomorrow before we go on a break. We'll be back in July. We'll be giving you updates throughout. There won't be shows on the break, but there'll be video updates. There'll be some other teasers and things that come out. And as a last reminder, please go over to drewberquist.locals.com, or you can just go to locals.com and search Drew Berquist. Sign up for a free account because we're going to be doing a lot more stuff there. There's going to be free stuff there. There's going to be some stuff that's premium and more interactive and engaging. You don't have to do that part now, though, but do go over there because we're going to be moving some stuff that way as we get into July. So get yourself set up now so you don't miss anything and just get the account. Seriously, it's super easy. Locals.com, sign up. Search Drew Berquist, join that community, and then we'll start sharing more and more stuff over there as we get going. The show will remain on all of these platforms, so you don't have to change how you consume the show, but we do ask that you'd head on over there and sign up at locals.com. It's a safe place, and we're excited to do some fun stuff over there. Do hit, as No Enemy said, hit that like button on the way out. It goes a long way to support and help everything that we're doing, push back against the algorithms that we're facing here on Big Tech. We appreciate the comments, appreciate this great chat that you guys have got going here on all the platforms, for that matter. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Be safe, be smart, be free.